Well, good evening, friends and brethren. Very good to see you tonight. We are turning to the book of Jeremiah for a lesson tonight that I think is a pretty simple lesson, but one that maybe will be of some help and benefit to us. This was part of our daily Bible reading this week, and we'll be looking at some words given to us or penned to us by Jeremiah in chapters 5 through 7. And it's words from Jeremiah's pen, but it's the Lord speaking most of the time in what we are reading tonight. In fact, it would be the Lord speaking in all of Jeremiah, because it is God who has inspired these words. And as we look at this text as it unfolds, we find Israel was content to be in a state of self-deceit. And what I mean by that is they did not even wonder about or care about their status before God. Man has the ability to deny truth, to ignore the obvious, and to just pretend all is well, when if we just stop and think about it for a moment, we would know that's not the case. And certainly that was the situation with the children of Israel in the day of Jeremiah. Pretending that all is well does not make it so. You know, we say of some, in sometimes a sarcastic way, when they make some comment, we say, man, they're delusional. Because of something they've said that we just know is just off the base. It doesn't make sense, or it doesn't pertain to what we're talking about. Well, I'd have to say of Israel at this point in time in their history, they were delusional. If they thought in any way that what they were doing in the realm of religion was right or approved of God. I mean, there's nothing that is said in our text tonight that would ever give us, you know, that impression. And so if they thought everything was okay, well, they were being unrealistic. They were not being rational. With regard to one's relationship to Jehovah God, we may wish that we could just ignore everything God says about obedience to Him. And, well, in fact, we can. We can ignore everything that God says, but that does not change God's will in the matter. Just a few passages tonight that I think helps to highlight where Israel was at, Israel's attitude toward the will of God. And at this point, Israel's attitude toward God is not the way God views their attitude. And we need to be able to see that. They've come to a point of believing that God would not punish them, that it didn't matter at all how they lived, that somehow everything was just going to be all right. Jeremiah chapter 5 and beginning verse 12, it says, they have lied about the Lord. They said, He will do nothing. No harm will come to us. We will never see sword or famine. The prophets are but wind, and the word is not in them. So let what they say be done to them. You try to just get an impression of the attitude that's required in one's heart to just come to that point right there of basically saying judgment won't come. You know, that's delusional in itself, isn't it? That's self-deceit at its very best, because God has always followed His demands of obedience with judgment of those who do not. But see, here they are at the point of saying of the Lord, He will do nothing. No harm will come to us. But that wasn't true. That wasn't accurate in any way. But I'm sure it was a comforting feeling to think that God would not do anything when in fact He had already said He would do something. We can ignore the truth all we want to. That doesn't change truth. We can just absolutely take God's truth and we can just push it to the side, pretend that it means nothing, but that doesn't change the truth. It doesn't change what God says. And to make it even worse is that the religious leaders of their time, the priests and their prophets, were just tickling their ears and telling them the things that they would want to hear and believe. You know, man has always wanted to hear the easy things. Chapter 5 still. And verse 30, a horrible and shocking thing has happened in the land. The prophets prophesy lies, and the priests rule by their own authority. and my people love it this way. But what will you do in the end? Self-delusional. You see, the priests were not concerned at all with what the will of God was. They preached by their own authority, and everybody loved it just like that. Because their ears were tickled, they heard what they wanted to hear. And still they were thinking, remember, that God will not do anything. That was their thought, and that was their attitude. But now, God's frustration, do we not think that God gets frustrated? Sure he does. God's frustration, he's at the point of saying, who will listen? Imagine Jehovah God, the creator of all things, trying to influence his people to do what is right, but they're not willing to listen to what he says at all. In chapter 6, verse 10. To whom can I speak and give warning? Who will listen to me? Their ears are closed, so they cannot hear. The word of the Lord is offensive to them, and they find no pleasure in it. But I am full of the wrath of the Lord, and I cannot hold it in. God's will concerning his people was at the very end, and we can see that in the words of the prophet. It was deliberate. It wasn't as though they did not hear him, but they just kind of closed their ears to the things that God had to say. D. Bowman, sometimes in preaching, I've heard him preach where he says something sometimes to the audience for two reasons. I've heard him say this. Now, don't put those clankers on, he says. As though inside of our ears we can somehow put those clankers down where you can't hear anything. Where it's kind of like if he's been a little bit long, he says, don't put those clankers on right now. Listen to me. Or if he's saying something that's a little bit hard to take, now don't put those clankers on. But that's what Israel had done. I mean, they had closed up their ears and they didn't want to hear. It wasn't that they could not hear what Jehovah God had to say, but deliberately they just ignored his will. You know, it takes a special boldness to just ignore what Jehovah God has to say. The one who is the creator of all things, the one who gives us life, breath, and all things. To ignore what God says, to turn a deaf ear, that is just a special kind of boldness. When man reaches to the point where he has no fear of God, no shame, and feels as though he can spit in the face of God and there'll be nothing that happens. But that's the impression that I have of Israel at this time in their history. But God knew their ways in verse 13, chapter 6, verse 13. From the least to the greatest, all are greedy for gain. Prophets and priests alike, all practice deceit. They dress the wound of my people as though it were not serious. Peace, peace, they say, when there is no peace. Are they ashamed of their loathsome conduct? No, they have no shame at all. They do not even know how to blush, so they will fall among the fallen, and they will be brought down when I punish them, says the Lord. God knew their ways. He knew their heart. He understood their motives. There was nothing that was hidden from him, from the least to the greatest of them, even the priests and prophets. In fact, maybe we should even say, especially the priests and the prophets, because surely they were the ones who should have known better, who should have known more. And when they saw the bleeding of the people, using the metaphor here as though they were injured, you know, seeing the bleeding of the people, God says they would dress the wound of my people as though it was not serious. They didn't really deal with the issues or problems that needed to be dealt with. This kind of glossed it over, put a Band-Aid on a broken leg kind of a thing, where it did not address the issue or the problem. And in time, when we are led to believe that there is nothing wrong with our actions, we believe it. And sometimes it's just because we want to believe it, but sometimes we might be fooled into believing it. But that's back to that delusional thing, self-deceit. Don't be fooled, because we can be fooled sometimes pretty easily. That doesn't make it right. Even if we are just fooled into believing that we're right, that doesn't change anything. We're still walking where it's wrong. God's frustration at the stubbornness of man. It's hard for me to just really fully get a grasp at how angry God must have been and just frustrated. Have you ever been just, you've been in that situation where you just can't even hardly deal with the situation anymore because the frustration level has come to the point where, what more can you do? What more can you say to fix something that you shouldn't have to fix to begin with, and where you have tried to fix it along the way, but no one will listen to you? The frustration level that rises. Can't you imagine that? God is at that point of frustration and disappointment. Just absolute disappointment that here are the people that are His chosen that have just absolutely refused to listen to Him. Chapter 7, verse 21. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Go ahead, add your burnt offerings to your other sacrifices and eat the meat yourselves. For when I brought your forefathers out of Egypt and spoke to them, I did not just give them commands about burnt offerings and sacrifices, but I gave them this command: obey me, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. Walk in all the ways I command you, that it may go well with you. But they did not listen or pay attention. Instead, they followed the stubborn inclinations of their evil hearts. They went backward and not forward. From the time your forefathers left Egypt until now, day after day, again and again, I sent you my servants, the prophets. But they did not listen to me or pay attention. They were stiff-necked and did more evil than their forefathers. God's frustration. Go ahead, add to your burnt offerings and your other sacrifices. Just go ahead. It's not what He had told their forefathers to do. It's not what He wants them to do. But He's come to that point now where He knows Israel is going to do whatever they want to do. And God's not going to stop them no more than He's going to stop us. When we are of the mind of walking in sin and doing what we know is wrong, He's not going to stop us from doing that. He has tried to guide Israel. He has tried to steer them in the way. He has given them words to follow. But when they have refused to listen to them, He said, fine. Fine. If that's where you are, if that's where you want to be, go ahead. Add your burnt offerings to your other sacrifices. That's where God was at. Their effort at worship was only pleasing themselves. Perhaps they were doing the sacrifices that God had required. But they were doing their own sacrifices too. They were worshiping their own gods. And it wasn't to their benefit, and it was not pleasing to God, not in any way. God had been specific about offerings and sacrifices and about obedience. God had always been so specific about that. Why has man continued to struggle with obedience? What part do we not understand when God says, obey me and I will be your God and you shall be my people? What part of that do we not understand? How many times throughout the history of the Bible can we see that phrase made? I mean, time and again, God has said the same thing. Obey my words and I will be your God and you will be my people. The root of the problem, the Lord identifies. They followed their stubborn inclinations of their evil hearts. You know, whenever you dig to the root of a sin problem, you ever notice we always come to the same spot? We come to the same root. It's a heart issue. And that's what God identified with Israel long ago. There comes a point where man becomes totally oblivious to what is right, oblivious to God's will. Have you ever become so lost in your travels you just don't know which way to go? My dad has a horrible sense of direction. I used to make fun of him about that a lot, but the older I get, the more I'm realizing I'm my father's son. And I hate that. That really bothers me. One time, several years, it was a long time ago actually, when Sandra and I first bought the farm in Tennessee. Where we were going to build the house was completely wooded, about 30 acres of woods, and it was very thick woods. A lot of vines and stuff like that. And one evening after work, I decided I just had to walk out there again where we thought we were going to maybe build a house. We hadn't cleared anything yet. And it was already getting late in the evening. It wasn't dark, but it was not real bright. And I had hiked back up in the woods. It wasn't real far, about a quarter of a mile in the woods. Not that far. But far enough that after I got in there for a little while and got kind of working around and some things like that, and it was getting kind of dark, I thought, I better get back to the car. I stood there for a minute, and I said to myself, I've got to find the car. And I couldn't tell which way the road was. I mean, I was completely lost. I had no idea which way to go toward the road. And so I waited about 5 minutes thinking if a car went by on the road, I could hear it and I would know, but not a car went by. And so I was getting a little bit panicky because when you're there in the woods all by yourself and it's getting dark, you wouldn't believe how many lions and tigers you can hear and see. You know, it starts getting a little bit weird. Lost. There comes a point sometimes where man becomes totally oblivious to what is right and can't even see the way out because he has ignored the will and the way of God for so long that if he once followed the path that God has set, he's kind of brushed over it, you know, in such a way that he can't even see how he got to where he's at. And now he can't even see the way out if he's so inclined to look. God wanted to help Israel, and he kept calling them. But because of their stubborn heart, because of their evil heart, they had moved so far away from him. Even if they wanted to follow God, I'm not sure if they knew which way to go. That's how far they had gone. They were willfully deceived. They were in the position they were in by their choice. It was not by God's choice. He had done everything that he could to give them direction and to help them be the people that they should be. You think about the text we just read where he said, "Obey me," but they did not. God had said, "Walk in my ways," but they refused. God said, "Listen to me," but they followed their own evil hearts. And the result of that is they went backward instead of forward. They moved farther away from God and not nearer because they were stiff-necked. It's like they couldn't even turn and look for God. And there's no inclination that they wanted to. What does all that mean to you and me? Sometimes we look at texts like this of the people so long ago, when, you know, what does this mean to me? Okay, so they were self-delusional. Okay, so they had an evil heart. Okay, they had moved so far away from God. What does that mean to me? Well, the lesson is just so powerful. From what we can take, there are lessons learned. Or sometimes we say, what are the lessons learned? Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And in verse 9 beginning. 2 Thessalonians 2 in verse 9. To the church at Thessalonica, to Christians just like you and I, the Apostle Paul wrote, "The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all deception of unrighteousness in those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all might be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You know, the same thing that happened to Israel can happen to us. That we can fool ourselves into thinking that God doesn't care what we do. We can fool ourselves into thinking that how we worship makes no difference. We can offer burnt offerings with our sacrifices, as God said. We can somehow become so self-delusional that we think it really doesn't matter if we obey God or not. And we may even seek the priests and the prophets, so to speak, to tell us things we want to hear. And even if they see that we have moved far from God and they just put a band-aid on the wound, we might just be comfortable with that and willing to accept that that's all the correction or improvement that we need. Satan's rule and power is meant to deceive us. You see, is Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders? It gives us that impression of just how he is able to deceive us. If we are willing to be deceived, he is more than willing to deceive us. And he will do just that. And with all deception will lead the righteous to unrighteousness, where we might perish. That is, those who do not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. You see, God has always provided the means. He's always provided the way. He has always presented truth in such a way that we can choose. But we get ourselves in a problem when we allow ourselves to be deceived and stop thinking about what God says. Satan will lead us far away. He'll take us to the middle of the woods and he'll leave us there. We won't know which way to go, and he's not going to help us out. But always, God will provide a way. If we are willing to be obedient to him, if we are willing to turn to the love and have a love for the truth, it will save us. It always has. God's will has always saved man who has submitted himself. And it still does. He will still save us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Christ receiveth sinful men, we're about to see. That it is through him that we have that means, we have that way to approach God, a means of being made free and clean from sin because of the blood of Jesus. And he'll draw us near. But he will always leave the choice to us. What will we choose tonight? If you need to respond to the gospel, we are hoping that you will come, and you will come now as we stand and sing.